Blog Talk Radio.
Well, happy day to you. This is Crouch Man, hoping and trusting that you are enjoying not just your day, not just your week, not just your month, but in fact, the entire year. We know that if we put enough years together, well, that means you're going to have a great life. Hey, today I want to talk a little bit about love. Ooh, love. Well, what do I mean by that? How about love in the sense of conditional love and unconditional love? Forgiveness, forgettedness, and sort of what that looks like in the real world. You know, I was challenged with this just a short time ago. And what I mean by that is, exciting times, my niece just had a baby, and that's exciting, right? Well, when you put it in context of certain other surroundings, then you start to go, well, was it a good thing? Is it a good thing? And I don't know how many of you know just a little of my background, but the Crouch Man here was adopted. And I was adopted at 9 weeks of age. Now, I have no idea who my biological parents are. Interestingly enough, nor do I necessarily have a burning desire to find out. Adopted by a lovely mother and father of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, back in 1966. And you know, I want to say, kind of went through the process. You know, nothing abnormal with the Crouch Man, right? But when you peel back the adoption process, you say this: boy, I just don't know what my biological mother, this is that I speak of, what she went through. In other words, the context and the backdrop of 1966. Was that of we have some civil rights issues going on, lot of turmoil in America, and of course when you see the picture of me, I am definitely not blonde hair, blue eyes, and Caucasian. Yet that is in fact what my mother, adoptive mother Marilyn, and my adoptive father, Don, were very religious, Church of Christ. But nevertheless, I don't know what my biological mother went through. And what I mean by that is, during this time, was she the cheerleader, the most popular in school, who then found herself, well, situation. Well, if you go back in 66, in that time frame, not having a baby wasn't real popular, right? They had to go to extremes to not have a baby, right? Extremes. But at the same time, there was also great humiliation of the mother, right? Maybe, in fact, she was banished. Maybe the cheerleader had to go away to a different place. Maybe they got sent her on a bus. I wonder what she went through. I wonder what her friends thought of her. I wonder what her friends' parents thought of her. And I can't help but wondering, you know, was it a positive thing? Oh, we're so excited that you're going to have a baby. Hey, maybe, in fact, she wasn't the most popular. She was not the cheerleader in high school. Maybe she was, a straight-A student. Never had any problems, found herself in a bad situation, and some bad people did some bad things to her. And then she found out, wow, I'm pregnant as a result of this. Whew. In both of those situations, I'm sure glad, I'm happy, I'm blessed, fortunate that my biological mom dealt with the external pressures, dealt with the external humiliation, or nonsense that she went through to still have a little crouchy. very excited about that. But not being there, oftentimes we forget what kind of pressures are thrown on individuals. Now, those are two nice things, right? Mom, a biological mom, went through some turbulent times. Maybe her friends were upset with her, and she still had a crouchy. You know, the other side of this is maybe she was a bad person, my biological mom. Maybe she had a lifestyle that's not conducive, certainly one that I have today, but maybe she was a bad person. Maybe she was very outgoing, as it were. And maybe she was on some sort of addictive drug or alcoholism. Maybe, in fact, she, you know, still, even though having this bad lifestyle, decided to still have crouchy. Maybe she didn't have the money to have me taken care of, as it were. You know, what's exciting is at least she had the wherewithal to still have me. By the way, she could have thrown me in a trash can, to which I'm grateful for the individual that might have heard me screaming at the top of my lungs, or my little lungs as they were. Maybe, in fact, I was on the side of the road. Maybe I was in a bathroom floor. Wherever I was, I'm blessed and happy, again, that my biological mom went through with the process of having me, again, dealing with some external forces that I have no idea what they may have been. Does this make sense to you? In other words, it's kind of like, wow, bad person had a baby. Now, by the way, on the outside, we could pause for a moment and say, well, if that was my daughter, she was a cheerleader, that was my daughter, the straight-A student. In fact, it's my daughter, maybe that's the bad person, right? And as a dad and as a family unit, what are we saying? Are we saying, sure, man, go ahead, have this baby, even though you have no means of maybe taking care of it? Interestingly, put things into context. Nevertheless, I'm talking to you today saying that I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed that whatever my biological mom went through, she actually still had a little crouchy. Now, there's a whole other component too, right? Maybe, in fact, my biological mom sold me. Maybe that's what happened, right? Hey, a little production line. Guess what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter to me 40 years later, really, why she had me, but rather that she did have me. Now, that might be the first topic. That could be then I would have, could we say, unconditional love for my biological mom, though I've never met her. Though I have no idea where she is today, nor even if she's alive. The same with my biological father. Unfortunately, both of my adoptive mother and my adoptive father both have passed away, which I just call mom and dad, by the way. Both have since now passed away. But it's just unconditional love. Now, by the way, here's the flip side. Here's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Caucasian family in Pennsylvania in 1966, and of their selection process, they select the tan baby. Now, isn't that cool? So right off the bat, that gives you a good sense that mom and dad were definitely not conformists. They were, as one could say, very much in the front line of doing what they believed to be honorable and correct and accurate. So who knows why my biological mom had me. I'm glad that she did. I'm excited and blessed that she did. Again, now this backdrop of not knowing, and it's easy to be that Monday quarterback on Sunday football games, talk about what you should have, could have. Man, I'm so happy that whatever she went through, my biological mom, that she had me. Now, let's contrast this. Because, again, I'm tested just like anyone else. I'm very tested. For beautiful children, I have three boys and a daughter. And of course, now I started this program today with my niece being a mother now, having a baby. So let's put this in the context. My niece is 18 years of age. Well, my niece is going to school, does have a part-time job, but finds herself now pregnant with a boyfriend who, you know, from the family side of things, we kind of went, you know, is he really the best guy for you? Is he really the right guy? Has a sordid past, has struggled in many areas, has had some addictive personalities. But nevertheless, here we find ourselves now with baby. And during this process, you know, what I discovered within myself is that I really, really, I'm using the I word here, I like to have processes. Just tell me what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and what you think that objective or that vision is going to look like when you've accomplished your missions, right? And when, in lack of that, I get real frustrated. And, of course, there's no clear vision. Not really a place to stay. Realizing now that with a baby, going to school is not going to happen because now she, my niece, is going to work more hours. And at the same time, the young man is unemployed, is not educated, and says that he wants to do things, but history shows that it hasn't happened yet. And of course, I really hope and pray with positive thoughts, well-being going out, that does change. Of course, he does have another child as well. Now, put this against this backdrop, and you're going, Lordy. One could say, honey, why did you have a baby? What a question. After what I just talked about. Right? After what I just talked about. See, look at the context. And for me, a very eye-opening moment. As I'm watching this beautiful baby born from my niece, I could not help but to go back in time and say, wow, what were they saying when I was born? Was it somewhat similar? Did friends and family not like the boyfriend or the husband, did not like the mom? What was that all about? And it really, really rang true with me of saying, you know, the baby is coming out and she is pure of thought, pure of heart, pure of intentions of living life here. And regardless of what people are saying on the outside, our job as a family unit, my job as uncle in this particular case, but is to be that light, that shining, guiding light that says, hey, I'm sure glad you have her because she is going to impact many lives, many families, in the future. We don't know who and we don't know when, but I'm sure glad that she had the baby. And it was in that point of time when you look at context and you say, it's a tough one. I struggled with it. I did. I prayed a long time. Said, essentially, give me the strength to handle this. Right? To be that rock of Gibraltar, to be that beacon of light, not only for my niece, and letting her know that, hey, the family unit is the family unit. So I encourage you today, if your family unit is broken in some way, if it's strained in some way, reinforce it, reach out, call those individuals, tell them you love them. When the family unit is broken, then the very fabric, believe this or not, the very fabric of America is weakened. The stronger those units are, families in America, the stronger America is as a nation. Again, it's the small things. It's the small things. So in this moment in time, I look up and I realize that I've been thinking about the wrong things with my niece having the baby. I'm thinking, well, eventually they're going to come back to roost with me. They're going to stay with me. I'm going to have to provide housing and shelter. We're going to have to provide diapers and food. And I started going down the laundry list of things. Found myself getting a little bit jaded. But then I said, you know what? That's what family does. That's what an aunt and an uncle do. It's a strong unit. And then I realized, you know, Crouch, I know, hold on to your britches here. You know, it's not about you. It's about them and their life and their journey of what their life is about to be. And stop being selfish, Crouch, and putting the spotlight on you and how that's going to affect you, but rather realize that this is life. It's unpredictable. It's challenging. The good news is that we're adaptable. So this process, though it was exciting, stressful, and tasking, as I put the backdrop and the context on it, I say one thing. I'm glad she had the baby. I'm glad I'm the uncle. I'm glad that we have a family unit in place that the little baby will not go without food or shelter. And yet at the same time, I admire the young 18-year-old who had the courage to have the baby, to have the courage to bring life into this world with no clear mission and no clear vision. You know, Scripture talks a little bit about sparrows and the fact that there will be no sparrow that will go hungry. And boy, is that ever the case here with our young niece, right? Just, hey, here we are. I'm going to have a baby. Baby's now here. Lord, take care of us, we hope, right? But he does. He does provide. He does provide. He talks about you can conquer all things through Christ whom strengthens you. It's a great verse, guys. Great verse to resonate on. Just knowing that you have the courage to do what it is that you want to do, how you want to do it, and when you want it done, is all within you. We do talk about thoughts are simply things. There's just a delay between when you think it and when it happens. So when we look at and we want to pass judgment on folks, or we're quick to make negative comments, put the context on top of you. Imagine it is your daughter or your niece, your nephew, and how would you act and behave? Again, now the amazing part is that I have this flip side perspective, right? Because I'm that guy. See, I'm the little baby that maybe was born and nobody wanted. Well, I shouldn't say nobody wanted, because my adoptive parents, which I'm very blessed, excited, thankful that they got me, right? That they picked me, right, for lack of a better word. Before you pass judgment on folks, put that context on you. What would you do if it were your daughter, your son, your niece, your nephew, or in fact just within your family unit? Unconditional love versus conditional love. I love you only if. Unconditional love, right? Unconditional love is I love you. With all your bumps, all your warts, all your transgressions, I love you. When you say those words to your family members, is it unconditional or is it conditional? I'll share with you right now. I mean, there's a reason why there's two different words, and they're tough. It is tough. I'm not sitting there talking today saying, oh, yeah, it's easy. Well, I unconditionally love everybody. I unconditionally love my family. No, it's tough. If you resonate on it, though, what is unconditional love to you? And it's love without conditions. I love you. Forgiving and forgetting. You know, we can't forget how and why maybe my niece was to have her first baby and be pregnant. Can we forgive her of what she's shared? I mean, forgetting and forgive. Another tough distinction. Many of us say we forgive, and then you harbor, you keep ill feelings. It's a dark feeling. It weighs on you. And the secret here is to forgive so that it is out of you. This negative, this dark energy is out of you, and you, in fact, are the light. Again, as I look at my niece and her boyfriend and the young baby, I'm reminded that I am the light. In what some could say, well, it's a negative or a bad situation. No. It's all good. And we have to come and bring the light and raise it high. Share it. Spread it. Be positive. Be optimistic. Knowing that if you have a clear mission, you can future cast this vision of if you do this, this should happen. Then you are the architect of your life. Don't harbor the dark energy. Get it out of you. Be the light. Be that in which people come to you. Be that to which your family unit can say, I can lean on you. I know that you will be there. I know you won't leave me. I know that you are stable. You're consistent. Are you that person in your family? I encourage you that if you're not, that you become that person. That if, in fact, you find yourself wavering, go into deep meditation. Pray on it. Because countless members of the human race are depending on it, right? On you being positive, you being forthright in your actions. Unconditional, conditional, love that is, forgiveness and forgetting, four words with massive and major impacts. I'm happy and I am blessed that I'm able to hear to speak with you today because of what my mother went through, my biological mother went through. I'm also happy and blessed to be here because of what my adoptive parents went through in getting me. I'm happy and blessed that my niece had a beautiful baby. And I can watch what she's going through. So instead of ascribing to or jumping on dark energy, we can be the light and a beacon of hope. And I encourage you to do the same in your life, in your family, and in every step you take. Context. Interesting, isn't it? Very interesting when you see it. Tell you what, it's even more impactful when it's your life, when you're living it, and it's right smack in front of you. But I encourage you to lift your head up. I encourage you to understand and know that you're the architect of your life. Be positive, even if things are negative, it's okay. It begins with a thought. If your mind is right, then you can conquer. You need to, as it were, mind your mind. And of course, I leave you with, are you reading the right books? I'm going to just take a quick, just this moment in time. Here's the question to you. What book are you reading? Now, if you didn't readily spit out a book, that means you're not reading the book because you wouldn't know what the title is. I challenge you. Read a book a month. Just a book a month. That's only 12 books. Now, why don't we do that? Why would you not read it? Well, it's because we're getting lax in our mind. And what I'm stressing to you that I've realized at times like this, going back to my niece, unconditional love, is, man, I need to be reading. I need to be surrounding myself with folks that have lived before me, right? Because many have. I need to understand their wisdom and some of their guidance. So when I ask you the question, hey, what are you reading? That's important. Hey, let me ask you another question. What are you listening to? Is your car tuned on the radio? Is it tuned on onto some shock jock? Is it turned on to sports? Or do you have an audio CD? Or is your MP3 plugged in? Or do you have your iPhone iTouch where you have an audio book? Or you're listening to some positive affirmations? Or you're minding your mind? I mean, again, if you couldn't name the audio tape or the book on tape, or you're probably not doing it. Well, these are the little things. What are you reading and what are you listening to? Well, who are you hanging out with? That's the other question. Think about the people that you just hung out with the last 5 days. Are they energy givers, energy suckers, or are they just maintainers? Think about it right now. Go, name your five that you were just with. Why don't you ask yourself the question, why were you with them? Why were you with them? If you want to catch a cold, hang around folks that have a cold. You most assuredly will get a cold. So who you hang out with actually does matter. What you listen to does matter. And heavens to Pete, what you read does matter. Wow, you don't understand. I'm trying to make money. Hey, take the last five people that you're hanging out. Take the five people you hang out with the most. Take their incomes. Divide it through to get an average. It's probably about what you're making. It all begins with thinking, team. It begins with thinking. If we can get our thinking right, if we can mind our mind, if we can get on that right track from Jump Street, that is, in a quiet place, get a clear vision, you will achieve that which you seek. Not maybe. You know, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, you know, you had the phrase, there's that thinking stuff of which all things are made of. Just look around where you are today. Everything that you see around you at some point in time was in somebody's mind, and then they made it happen in their mind, in their mind's eye. So I encourage you, be careful what you think about. I encourage you, read positive, uplifting, knowledgeable things that you can take action on. I encourage you to listen to things that feed your soul, that feed your body, that make you feel better. I encourage you, hang out with people that do the same. Hang out with people that want something more than they currently have. They're happy with what they have, while discontent at the same time as they struggle to gain more. They're happy with what they have. Be around goal-oriented folks. Listen to the right stuff, team. And oh, by the way, put the right stuff on your body when you're eating. Hey, I encourage you today, go show some unconditional love, embrace your loved ones, and be thankful. And give true blessings to all that you have today in your life. Because if it weren't for one or two people in your life called Mama and Papa, you wouldn't have it. This is Scratch Man saying, make it truly a great life. It's ultimately up to you. You got it. It's ultimately up to you know who. You. So make it a great one.